Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our ongoing study of the Gospel of Luke. And in this study, we will cover Luke chapter 18, verses 28 through 30, and we've titled it, Lo, We Have Left All. The conclusion of this two-part study can be found at BBFOhio.com, where you'll also find thousands of 30-minute Bible studies in audio and video for free download, and many other free resources, as well as our contact and donation information. That website, again, is BBFOhio.com. And now we begin with a current events update and then our study in Luke chapter 18, verses 28 through 30, titled, Lo, We Have Left All. This is part one of two. Our current events update brought to you by donuts. Who brought the donuts? Somebody brought donuts. All right. All right, our current events update is kind of obvious for those of you who live in a cave or under a rock. You might be surprised to know that Roe v. Wade was overturned. Woo-hoo! Go ahead and give it. Yay! But abortion is still legal, which is why it's so crazy to see these leftists rioting and doing everything they're doing. If you live in states like New York and California, Illinois, and those places, you can still kill your baby. This, I don't want to downplay it, but I also want everyone to understand the reality. This is something I never thought I would see in my lifetime. I never thought would happen before the millennial kingdom, that Roe v. Wade would not be the law of the land in the United States of America. So it is a huge day. June 24, 2022 was a great day for life. And as Christians, we're for life. Amen?
Amen.
But there is great confusion, so we want to clear this up. First of all, Roe v. Wade was overturned 5-4. You'll see the headline saying it was overturned 6-3. Dobbs versus Jackson, Mississippi, was the case before the Supreme Court. It was overturned, or I'll say it this way, Dobbs was confirmed 6-3. And that includes Judge Roberts in that. This was allowing states to ban abortion at 15 weeks. But the important thing was, which is what they decided was the age of fetal viability. You go online, there's places where it say 23 weeks, 26 weeks, but in Mississippi they said 15 weeks just to be safe. But what it allowed was for states to make their own laws, which is what Roe v. Wade took away. You see, we talked about this, some of you heard in Sunday school, but Roe v. Wade was a violation of our Constitution.
Amen.
Roe v. Wade found a right to abortion in the 14th Amendment. Read it on your own time. You won't find a right to abortion there. Liberal judges lied because that's what liberals do. They lied and pretended that there was a right to abortion in the 14th Amendment. It's not there. Our Constitution in the 10th Amendment says that anything not specifically delegated to the federal government belongs to the states.
Amen.
All they did with this decision was reset the Constitution, that states make their laws unless the laws are in the Constitution. Now, I'll say this again as I did in Sunday school. The way the federal government gets by with this is not only by changing what the Constitution says from the courts with the activist liberal judges, but also by taxing you, taking all the money that should go to your state government. They suck it up. And when Ross Perot talked about that giant sucking sound, I think he was hearing Washington, D.C. Because they suck all the money into D.C. and then they put it in a big bag of tens of millions, if not billions, and they give it to the state with a catch. Do what we say and you can have our money. And so they don't have to change the Constitution or amend the Constitution or even pass laws in Congress, really. All they have to do is have the money. The love of money is the root of all evil, amen?
Amen.
Now, Roe v. Wade was overturned 5-4. Justice Roberts removed his vote. Now, Dobbs, by extension, basically said the states can make their own rules and the age of viability was kind of up in the air, and so states really could have outlawed, like Ohio, we're going to see in a minute, with the heartbeat bill. But he said that that it was unnecessary to overturn Roe because of that, and so that's why he didn't sign on to it. But the bottom line is, five did. So let's get some things cleared. Fact number one, abortion is still legal in the United States, except where outlawed by a particular state. So unless you live in a state that outlaws abortion, then abortion is still legal in your state. Folks, that's how our country is supposed to operate.
Yep.
The public schools have dumbed down everybody. The public, the news media, the entertainment, everybody totally has dumbed down everybody. So very few Americans understand the very system we live under.
Right.
And I'm not just talking about liberals.
Yeah.
When the previous president had conservatives excited about things, and then when he didn't do things, they said, why doesn't Trump just do this and do that? He had to explain to him, he's not a king. He's a president. And the same thing's true about Obama. When Obama was signing all those executive orders, but a lot of them were unconstitutional, but even if they were constitutional, they only affected the executive branch of government. And I'm sorry, but I'm sure some of you here don't know what I'm even talking about. And you have to take it upon yourself to learn. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So, fact number two. Americans are confused because they don't understand the form of government we live under. I think I just said that.
Right.
Jumped ahead of myself a little bit. But we have materials, and we have free pocket constitutions. Take one. We've got plenty more. If we run out, if a bunch of people grab them and we run out, let us know. We got a bunch of them. We give them away and have for years. Fact number three, if you read that constitution, the 10th Amendment, in the Constitution provides that anything not specifically in the Constitution as a matter is a matter for states to decide. So the Constitution is for the federal government, and anything not in there belongs to the states.
Amen.
And that's why the liberals have to lie and make up rights, like the right to abortion, because it's not in there. And that's the only way the federal government can have any control, is if it's in there. Fact number four, at this time, only 13 states have or soon will have outlawed abortion. How many states are there?
50.
I thought he was joking. Because you remember Obama said there were 55. And like, well, you never know. In 5 years, 10 years from now, that could be true if we add Puerto Rico and Cuba.
But
anyway, so 50, 13 out of 50, what's that tell you?
37
states that still will allow abortion, at least in the short term. Now, it is expected that at least a total of 22 states in total will have done so soon. Here's a map that shows the red states likely to ban abortion, and Ohio is one of those. And now I'm going to show you, we've already got it pretty much banned, but there's still a little loophole, little opening, and they're going to take care of that soon, I trust. But fact number six, the claim that the Dobbs decision violates precedents by overturning Roe is a fallacious argument. Roe v. Wade violated precedents and found a fictitious right to abortion in the 14th Amendment. Now, there was this law that Plessy versus Ferguson, 1896, I think it was. Now, I don't agree with what it was about. It was about the ability for states to have separate facilities for whites and non-whites. And that's repulsive.
Amen.
But that's beside the point. The point is, whose job is it to do away with such things? And the federal government doesn't have the right to do that. And you say, but it's a good thing. Once you start doing good by doing bad, you destroy the fabric. And so what the Supreme Court said was, whether or not we agree with the separate facilities, the fact is they have to have equal access. And even though it's separate but equal, it's still allowable. Well, Roe came along and threw that out. So let's get the history right and get things straight. Overturning Roe didn't throw out precedent, it reestablished precedent. Now, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. You don't need to, but some of you do. Fact number 7, Ohio is moving toward outlawing abortion once a heartbeat is detectable. Well, I wrote this and then found out this is what's happened. Abortion is currently legal in Ohio through the point of viability as of Friday morning. A heartbeat bill was signed into law in 2019 by Governor Mike DeWine banning abortions after a detectable heartbeat. However, not long after DeWine signed the bill into law, a federal judge issued an injunction, and he was right to do so legally because he blocked it from being enforced, ruling it violated the Constitution under Roe v. Wade. And in reality, as long as Roe v. Wade stayed the legal standard, then the heartbeat bill was in violation of that. But after Roe was overturned, Friday, Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost filed a motion in federal court to dissolve the injunction against the heartbeat bill now that Roe v. Wade had been overturned. And then later Friday evening, a federal judge approved Yost's motion and dissolved the injunction. The move bans abortions in Ohio after approximately 6 weeks of pregnancy across the state.
Amen.
And compared to just Friday morning, it's like night and day for, you know, a lot of babies are going to be saved because of that. As I said, there's still things to be done to, improve that law. But this was his tweet. The heartbeat bill is now the law. And he posted a shot of the district court decision stating that. So there's much more to do to stop abortion if you're going to stop killing babies completely. But praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Luke 18, 28 through 30 is where we're at in our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of Luke. We just came off the study of the ruler asking what do you do to inherit eternal life in verse 18. And after hearing the answer, the apostles said, "Who then can be saved?" Verse 27, he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." That's the context. So after listening to Jesus call on the ruler to sell all and give away everything, Peter says, "Hey, man, what about us?" That's the uninspired Greg Miller paraphrase. Let's read all three verses. I'd said even there, but let's read all three together, beginning verse 28. "Then Peter said, 'Lo, we have left all and followed thee.' And he said unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in the present time and in the world to come life everlasting.'" Amen?
Amen.
So verse 28, Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." It's a legitimate question to ask, but keep in mind, this isn't an absolute statement. Again, you have to take these things in context and understand the word usage. He says, "We have left all." Well, he hasn't left all absolutely. After all, Peter didn't permanently leave his wife and family. So this isn't in that permanent, absolute sense of leaving all, or Peter would have left his wife and family. Comparing Scripture with Scripture, Pope Peter was married. I got that in quotes because we don't believe Peter was ever Pope. But look at Matthew 8:14, and we have to ask, well, wait a minute, Peter. Over Matthew 8:14, Peter gets a visit. Love that song, If Jesus Came to Your House. You ever remember that song? Yeah, would you have to hide some magazines, turn the channel, grab the Bible and blow the dust off and set it on the table? You know, it's a great song. But here, Jesus visits Peter's house. Read verse 14 with me. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. He's got a wife and a mother-in-law. And hold the jokes. Some mother-in-laws are very sweet. I had a good one. And she's with the Lord now. But Peter hadn't left his wife permanently, completely, totally, absolutely. So keep that in mind. Something, one of the rules of hermeneutics, the interpretation of Scripture, is that God presupposes common sense. And when he uses hyperbole, for example, and says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. He's not saying to literally pluck out your eye. But what he's doing is proving a point, because he later then says, you're better off plucking out your eye than having your eye and going to hell. You see? And it's similar in this context that we're reading. Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. Peter still owned a house. Not only had not left his wife and still had a mother-in-law, and it was still Peter's house. Amen?
Yeah.
By the way, Peter was never Bishop of Rome or Pope. And just want to throw that in there. If you've seen how the popes live, they certainly don't sell all. But so again, then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. The left all is not used in the permanent absolute sense. If so, why aren't you all naked? I mean, if you're going to leave all, by the way, thank you very much. I mean, I'm talking about myself as much as anybody. It's not something I ever want to see. But if you're going to leave all, absolute, total sense, you know, you shouldn't even have clothes. If Jesus had literally meant that we had to sell everything and leave all, without exception, he would have rebuked Peter. But does he? He doesn't. He responds with this amazing information about future reward in verse 29. Look down your Bible again. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. And I want to stop there for just a second. That's key. For the kingdom of God's sake. Is if you're just leaving everything absolutely without exception, you're not doing it for the kingdom's sake. You whatever your reason is. We have had people come here, and people who were in churches before I became pastor here at BBF. I've pastored, and people have come to me, and for example, on a couple of occasions, telling me that they were going to leave their spouse. And they actually made reference to this. Well, the Bible says, you know, you can leave your spouse for the kingdom's sake. I said, well, explain that. Then how is you're leaving your spouse for the kingdom's sake? How do you justify that? And it had nothing to do with the kingdom.
Amen.
One man actually just told me he just was sick of being married to that woman. I said, well, she's probably sick of you too, but that didn't have anything to do with it. We're incompatible. Join the club. I mean, at some point, you're going to be incompatible with each other. I mean, that's what they call arguing. That's what they call bickering, nagging, so forth. That happens. How many of you stood in front of the preacher and said, until incompatibility do us part? So why is that even brought up when it comes to divorce hearings? Incompatibility? But you only do what you do for His glory, for His sake, in this context. And so if God has not called you to leave everything and everybody and go to some far distant place, you know what's going to happen? It's going to blow up in your face. Or if you just try to use God as an excuse for neglecting your family. I know some preachers... And they justify it in their mind, even though they, back in their mind, they know they're being dishonest, but they'll justify not spending time with their family, not spending time doing other things that need to be done.
But I'm doing the Lord's work.
Well, the Lord has instructions for you to do His work a certain way, and that includes loving your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And those children that you brought in the world, the Bible says if you do not provide for them, not just food, if you do not provide what they need, you're worse than an infidel.
Amen.
And so this doesn't negate that. Anytime you read the Bible in a way that you have to contradict other scripture, you're doing it wrong. Amen?
Amen.
And what we're told is that if you do this for the right reason, then you get the best of both worlds. Look at verse 30. He's talking about those who, there's no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. Read 30 with me again. Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Now, that doesn't mean that you earn everlasting life, but it means that's part of the deal, is Amen. That you have eternal life, but it's icing on the cake. You're going to get more than that. Many times when I'm praying, I have to say it because it's just, I know God knows it. I mean, doesn't He know most everything we're saying, I guess? He's omniscient. He knows what you're saying. But I just feel like I need to say, Lord, You give us so much. I just thank You for, sometimes we'll be praying, you know, Jenny and I pray, and I said, thank You for the air conditioning. And thank You for this house. Thank You for the puppies. Thank You for the kids and the grandkids. Thank You, thank You. And I just feel like I got, and I always say, because I can't help it, I don't deserve any of it. I'm saved and don't deserve that.
Amen.
You not only have saved me, but given me all this.
Amen.
Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time? I am, you're looking at it, I won't speak for you, but I have received manifold more
Amen.
Than I've ever left.
Amen.
There are times I've left, I've gone places, I've spent time here, I've sacrificed time with family and such to go here and there. Sometimes I think Christians see sacrifice in a way that God's just up there shaking His head. Hey, I missed a whole episode of such and such last week. You know, that's how some Christians think. Did you have to move away from your parents in order to follow God's will for your life? That's a real thing. Every one of our kids got married. You know, we knew that, well, now they're married, have kids. Matt and Charlie, they got a responsibility, and if they have to take a job somewhere, they got to go. Thankfully, that hadn't happened yet. I'm certainly not suggesting it. Very nice having y'all local. But, you know, there are people who have had to go to mom and dad and say, the Lord is calling me here or there. And yes, it can be a mission trip. It can be mission work, but it can also be as an electrician or HVAC or whatever. You know, you have to go where the work is. Sadly, I know some people where I'm from who have destroyed their lives on drugs and things, and one of the reasons was they wouldn't move away from mommy and daddy to where the work was. So they couldn't get a decent job, and some of them started selling dope in order to make ends meet and that sort of thing. But another question, have you missed out on time or events with siblings in order to serve the Lord? It's not something you should do unless necessary, but there are times where you can't go to the family things if you're going to do what God's called you to do. Are you living in a rental or smaller house because of your choice to serve the Lord at a pay cut?
Yes.
There are many of preachers, and I was one of them for years, of bivocational. And, you know, I just say this, we live in a tiny house, but it's we like it. We're not boo-hooing. We're very happy where we're at. But there are some who have lived in tiny... I know preachers who lived in RVs in order to be evangelists and travel, and they had kids, wife and kids. I mean, that's a sacrifice. They left the house in order to follow the Lord. Have you sacrificed time with family without neglecting your duties or hurting or endangering them by your absence? I have to put that in there. But there are times where in order for you to do what the Lord's called you to do, you're going to spend time away from your own house, your own family. Have you spent time away from your spouse in order to serve the Lord? And again, only if it's what the Lord has called you to do. And that also, see, it takes, both have to be right with God for this thing to work if you're going to serve the Lord. If you try to serve the Lord and your spouse is carnal or unsaved, you're going to have trouble. But if you're, and that goes man or woman. A woman wants to go in, and I've seen it with women going into jail ministry and nursing home ministry or visitation type things. Or one lady I knew used to go around just help elderly people clean their houses and upkeep it, just go like once a month to help them out.